It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Push it to the limit.
Songbird Hugh is in the studio. Welcome back. Midday Show. We're now live on YouTube. Subscribe to the Sports Radio 94 WIP YouTube page. Be sure to turn on notifications so you never miss a show live 6A to 6P every single day, Monday through Friday. All right, Elliot's going to join us live from the owners meetings in West Palm Beach coming up in a few minutes. He's at the press conference right now. They're announcing some of the rule changes. One that we know is not a rule change because they tabled the vote. It's a tush push. Apparently, it was 16-16, a dead heat. Elliot will join us in a few minutes to discuss it. But I think this is bad news today for the tush push. The fact that they didn't just vote today, Hugh, it's someone involved wants them to keep considering it so they vote that way.
Well, I look at it like this. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that somebody that's in a position of power is trying to swing the votes. They didn't realize, I think maybe they didn't realize that the tush push was going to have as many, you know, devotees as it's had. Mm. So that's why they tabled it. But I don't think, even with that being the case, I still think the numbers favor the Eagles.
They do, but not a year ago. And I think we picked up on this at the combine. A year ago, it felt like they didn't get any push, no pun intended, to get this out. Now it feels like, Kyle, they're getting, if half the league is against this, that it's moving away from the Eagles.
I wonder why.
No, we know what this is. People know that this is what the Eagles are the best at this. They won. It's an easy way to level the playing field a little bit. The injury crap is total nonsense.
It's crap,
Being proactive about it is nonsense. It's not a football play, is nonsense. They're all lying as to why they want this tush push ban. You know what I think is pretty funny, though, today that I'm picking up on? A lot of the callers are saying, the Eagles don't need this play.
Nah.
But in the same breath, they're all pissed off that the league wants to ban it.
Well, there's a principle to it, taking something away for no reason.
Well, it's a hater move.
It is a hater move.
It's a hater move.
You think it's coping, Kyle?
Yeah.
No, it's fair. See, this is what it is to me. If there was, just like anything, if you don't like somebody, just say you don't like them. Don't make up all these different excuses about why this, that, and the third. Just be a man and say you don't like them.
I think what's happening here is that the writing is on the wall, that this thing maybe has 1 year left.
If that.
Until it's banned.
Yeah.
Right. If they don't get rid of it in May. And Eagles fans are doing what they always do. And everything's going to be fine. The Eagles are great. We'll figure it out. Just like when we lose great players on defense, you know, these young guys are going to be great. You know,
Chauncey wasn't that good anyway.
It's a very similar level of coping to
me. Well, it's been the offseason of coping. I mean, I would agree with that. It's been since the Super Bowl, it's been a lot of coping. 215-592-9494. We also are tracking football guys and non-football guys around the NFL. If you're a football guy, you want to keep the tush push. If you're a non-football guy, you don't want it. So far, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, Joe DeCamera, Raheem Morris, the biggest non-football guys. Am I missing anyone? Am I missing any non-football guys that you guys know of? Anyone else?
Not that I can think of.
Okay, just want to make sure. Anyone else publicly has been anti-tush push?
Like around here?
Like on the afternoon show, anything like that? Okay, we'll keep looking. But I need my full list of football guys.
It is interesting that a lot of the people in the NFL who played football
are for
keeping this.
Like, I know what y'all are trying to
do. And the people who didn't or for banning it.
I mean, football guys and the football guys column.
I know what y'all trying to do.
No, I'm just writing
Hugh,
columns,
names?
Hugh.
I don't know nobody. Okay.
This is...
Jeff McClain.
Did he give an opinion on the tush push?
I don't know. You want me to name names?
I think you just bullied Jeff McClain.
Non-football guy,
I'm not
Jeff
a bully.
McClain.
Jeff, if you listen to me,
I'll write him down in the non-football
bully,
guy column. That's all right.
I'm not a bully. You're just not a warm and fuzzy guy.
Was I right or wrong to put him in the non-football
You're not a warm and fuzzy guy.
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, what does your shirt say right now?
Not that friendly.
You're wearing it on YouTube?
Wait a minute.
Well, I thought you were going to wear bright colors. Are you blending in again?
This is kind of bright.
It's camo. That's opposite of bright.
Camo is bright?
Okay, since we're here.
What? No.
Since we're here. I'm like, damn. I have mostly dark colored T-shirts because you know what I mean. Yeah. I didn't know
you need some bright clothes.
I didn't know that.
You did have an issue on the first day.
You know what I'm saying?
In comparison to what you wore the first day.
Yeah, I'm getting better. At least I turned the lights on. The lights are on.
Well, that's good. Well, I think we have no choice on that. The lights got to be on in here.
Well, I the first day, full disclosure, I asked to turn them down a little bit.
No one could see.
And nobody could see me.
We need the lights on.
All they saw was my teeth.
All right, let's go
and
to
my beard.
Self. Speaking of those teeth, dentist good yesterday? Thumbs up?
Yeah, the dentist was great.
Self in North Philly's up. What's up, Self?
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
Hey,
what's up,
Self?
Man?
Hey, listen, man. Ban it, man.
Not a football guy.
Hey, you can say what you want, but I'm going to tell you why. First of all, that play getting on my damn nerves.
Like,
why? They run it at 4th and 9. They just run it too much. Like, unnecessary.
4th and 9?
When did they run it on 4th and 9?
I'm exaggerating, but I'm saying that's just how much they run it. Like, they don't care. They run it on 3rd down. They're running on 1st down. Like, they just overdo it with it.
And Could you imagine the station if the Eagles ran that play on 4th and 9?
Oh, I'd flip out.
Hey, listen, it's coming. But listen, but more so importantly, because yesterday I was like, you know, if they're going to ban that, then they might as well ban gang tackling and pushing runners, you know, for 1st down and all that stuff. So to get rid of all of that, just ban it. You know what I mean? Let it be original. Let the game be played the original way it's supposed to be played. You know what I mean? If you could do it, if you're that team, you're going to do it with or without that play. But more importantly, I'm going to tell you something. And I got a quick point to make on that torpedo back thing too, but I'm gonna tell you something. When I watch them run the tush push, man, I'm gonna be honest. I look at the linemen's necks, and I don't want none of them being paralyzed because they got a neck injury like that. They get real low, man, and that looks dangerous. I don't care what nobody say. That play looks dangerous. It don't look like the original quarterback sneak line when they push.
Zero injuries
really
so far.
Getting low. You know what I'm saying?
So it does look that way. And when they first started doing it, I was concerned. But it has been 4 years now, and nobody seems to get hurt doing it.
But, Joe, what I'm saying is it only take that one stop.
Oh, yeah.
He's being
so
proactive.
Not reactive.
Before reactive.
I got that. All right, so what do you think about the torpedo bat, Self?
I mean, what's coming next? The smart ball for pitchers where the ball slow up when the batter swing and then go 4-3? Like, what in the Captain Caveman baseball are we doing now? Yeah, I mean, like, what's going on with sports where everybody has to look for some type of way to get an edge up on somebody? Let's do it the original way. Baseball is played with hand-eye coordination and strength and power. That's it. We done took the steroids out of the player, and now we're putting it in the bat. Like, this is getting stupid, man. Yeah, I mean, it's getting stupid. So ban them both. Ban them both.
Well, so here's the thing. Itself, good phone call as always. There's always innovation in sports. Isn't that part of it? Now, the Yankees happen to use a guy from MIT. I think he works for the Marlins now. I think he moved on from the Yankees with wherever he is. But Babe Ruth used to use a bat that looked like a tree trunk, and then eventually it was like, that's really heavy. Why don't we make the bat a little lighter? Like, there's always innovation in this. This is just the latest thing. I think it's cool. I mean, I don't know why everyone's upset about this. It's just moving the weight of the bat to a different spot. It's just, I don't know why it's getting everyone all crazy here.
I always, especially in baseball, it's just weird to me how a lot of the people that watch, and I understand, like Devin made a compelling argument yesterday. Baseball is the one sport that we watch nowadays that is rooted in I can't even think about the stats.
Yes.
The stats from the past that have stood the test of time.
Right. Like if I say to you, who has the most home runs ever, you'd say Henry Aaron.
Yeah.
If I said to you top five home runs, you could probably guess Henry Aaron, Babe Ruth. If I said to you most passing yards, you might have to think about it. Like you would say Brady, but like we don't even pay attention.
These are stats.
It's a numbers game more than other sports.
Thank you, Joe, for saying it like that. These are stats that have stood the test of time. But I can make an argument that's why baseball has been stagnant over the last few years. I can make an argument that's why baseball revenue has fallen off, and they're making more money than anybody because nobody's watching the game. But now, guess what's happened over the last couple years in baseball?
They've tried to flip it.
They flipped it, and more people are watching baseball now. Baseball is a game that when I think about it, it just burns my biscuits when I hear, like I used to hear, like old guys that talked about the game, that played the game, they would get mad because the young kids wore gold chains and they would do the bat flips and things of that nature. And what was the mantra a few years ago? Let the kids play. Mm-hmm. They're trying their damnedest to get younger because most of the people that watch baseball are older. No disrespect to the old cats. I'm one of them myself. But they're trying to find ways to get younger. And the simple fact that this weekend there was a groundswell of people talking about these torpedo bats. Everybody, that was on everybody's lips this weekend during the Final Four.
Well, even yet, like yesterday during the home opener, it was a big thing that Bohm had one of the bats.
Yes.
I don't see the downside.
All publicity is good publicity, and this is great. I think this is great for baseball.
Look, if it changes the game significantly, then they'll take it away in a year. Well, let's see what happens. Are you out on torpedo bats over there?
It sounds like it.
I could see Kyle.
I think I am out on torpedo bats.
I do respect it because, like I said, Kyle, it's one of those games, and I'm going to let you speak. It's one of those games that is rooted in history. I get that.
I guess I'm going to sound like I'm one of those, like, baseball purist curmudgeons here, but
old
like
Guy Quinn.
Well, I mean, is pitching now eventually going to become like defense in the NFL, where it's a luxury, according to Hugh Douglas?
See, how did I catch a strike?
Well, you earned one.
I earned a strike. Thanks a lot.
I do think over the years, pitching has developed quicker than hitting. Right? Everyone throws 98 now. They have ridiculous spin. It's become harder to hit. It's why most guys hit like 240 now, and we just accept it. I'm ready for the offensive players to fight back. Now they have torpedoes.
I'm just worried that it's going to become a little bit of a problem. And I like seeing, like, the home run is fun. But, man, what I like the most about baseball is the play at the plate or the ball going to the wall and action on the base pass, right?
The ball going over
the fence on every hit is going to be boring. I'm sorry.
So there is one downside that we haven't really discussed.
What's that?
Is Taiwan going to survive the torpedo bat era?
He'll be fine.
I don't think so.
I believe in Taiwan.
He pitched to like a 70 ERA without
Thursday.
Torpedo bats.
Until Thursday rolls around. And then, I think he's going to win Thursday.
The game?
So much so.
The game?
So much so. As soon as I get into my account, I'll put some money on that.
You're betting on Taiwan on
Thursday?
Taiwan,
yes. $100.
Are you going to guarantee it?
$100?
No.
I'm
glad we're on TV. Did you see Joe's face? Winning pitcher. Taiwan Walker. $100.
As a friend, I got to tell you not to do that.
You know what? You know how when they say your mouth that wrote a check,
yeah,
that your ass can't cash?
That Taiwan's ass can't cash.
No, I feel good about it. Can I walk that back with $25?
You said 100 on the air. That counts. By the way, before we go back to the phones here, you are getting cooked in the avocado aphrodisiac.
Wait a minute. How am I getting cooked?
Because no one believes in avocados.
Because nobody's smart enough to be innovative like me. Listen.
Avocados become very popular. People eat all the time. Don't you think people would start realizing there's effects to this?
Okay. There are no scientific evidence to suggest that avocados are an aphrodisiac.
Well, that's all you need.
However.
that sounds like you lost.
However, the nutritional value can positively impact sexual function and reproductive health. Hmm. That's what it says.
So hold on. It's neither objective fact, or...
It's just good for overall health.
It impacts healthy blood flow.
I get it.
Healthy blood flow.
But I don't think that's
this
an
aphrodisiac. This feels like a stretch, man. Yeah,
healthy blood flow.
But
that
just,
helps.
But that just... No, I'm not. You know, I'm going to leave it here. Let's
I'm just saying it helps. Right, blood flow helps. Blood helps.
But a lot of things impact blood flow. I mean, a lot of things do. Let's go to Big V in Mount Laurel. You know what, Big V? Hold on. Elliot's here. I feel bad if
Vitamin E.
But he's going to have to just take a hold on. We'll be right with you, Big V. And let's go to Elliott Shore Parks down at the NFL owners meetings where the league has tabled the vote for the tush push. Elliot, how we doing?
What's going on? How you guys doing?
Hey, I can tell right now, Elliot, you have a pep in your step. As far as my vote is concerned, which I don't have one, you're the early leader in the clubhouse for inside of the year for 2026? 2025?
That would be 2026, yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're the early leader in the clubhouse. You are down there putting reporters to shame, asking the hard questions. Brother, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Look, it's all about doing it again, right? Last year was last year. It's a new season, so just trying to be the best.
That's
again.
What I'm talking about, Elliot. Lead into it. Lead into it. Did you wear
exactly
your chain
right.
down there, man? Did you wear the chain?
No, Joe, I'm debuting the chain at pull to Hugh there. I'm debuting the chain at the draft party.
I'm
so anyone that wants to come to the draft party, you know, you'll get to
chain?
See it.
That's what
yeah,
I'm talking
I got,
about.
I got you.
That's
yeah,
my
yeah.
inside of the year back-to-back, working on that back-to-back.
It's going
to
be a big
exactly
night
right.
when the chain is debuted. All right, Elliot, what's your take on what happened today? So we were waiting to vote, and then they said, nope, no vote. According to a couple of reporters, and one from the Washington Post I saw, it sounded like about 16-16 would have been the vote today, which would have meant the tush push would have stayed, right? They needed 24 votes to get it out, but they tabled this thing until a later date, maybe May. What's your take on where we're at right now with this tush push debate within the NFL?
Yeah, so I think the tush push is likely not back next year, or at least not the same version of it. I just left the competition committee press conference, and Rich McKay, who's co-chair of the committee, talked about the concerns with the play, and he said there were essentially, I would say, two main concerns. One, obviously safety. And then two, he mentioned just frankly how it looks. The pulling, is it football? The pushing, is it a rugby play? So he said those were really the two concerns. And, you know, I asked him afterwards, why is there a concern with safety if the play has been run for 3 years and there's been essentially no injuries? And, you know, what he said was that while safety is part of it, that, you know, a lot of the anti-tush-push people, I guess I'll call them, had a concern with just how the play looks, like the term rugby play was used. So my main takeaway from leaving that press conference is obviously the safety has been a big talking point over the past few days. But I think if this goes, it will be just as much because of the way it looks as opposed to the safety concern.
So here's my issue with and it's all, and I think you posted something earlier this morning with LaFleur talking. None of this seems consistent, and I feel like they're opening a can of worms here, Elliot. Like, if you tell me they're going to take a play away from the NFL because of how it looks, I can respond and say, well, why do we allow quarterback kneels at the end of a game? It's stupid. I mean, like, who wants to watch a quarterback just put a knee down and the clock run out? Like, I don't understand why they're choosing this play to kind of take a hard-line stance on how it looks. It's bizarre to me, especially with how infrequently it's run across the NFL.
Well, and especially, let's be honest, it looks a lot like a quarterback sneak.
Yes.
Right? Like, if you put 100 of them on tape and showed somebody who had never watched football before to differentiate between 50 tush pushes and 50 quarterback sneaks, I don't think they would say there is a main difference. So if you want to say just like a scrum aspect of it is not appealing or a football play, then ban quarterback sneaks as well. Like, I mean, the pushing is part of it, but if we're going to remove the safety aspect and just focus on the visual of how it looks, it's not much different than that. And here's just the frustrating truth that the Eagles and like their fans are going to have to accept, that there is really no rhyme or reason to this, right? Like, it could just be enough teams don't like it simply because they don't like it, and that's that. And let's be honest here. If we want to say from a competitive standpoint, if I'm Washington or if I'm Detroit or if I'm Kansas City, why wouldn't I ban this play? Like, I don't run it. The Eagles run it. And it helps the Eagles because they're so good at short yardage. Now, I think the Eagles will still convert at a high rate. But if they're going to say in this competition committee thing that safety is not like the driving force, then let's just say what it is. It is a preference thing. And I think the rest of the league prefers the Eagles couldn't run this play.
Elliot, who stood out to you in terms of their voice and how strong they are? I mean, I know LaFleur's been on this. You were at the press conference yesterday with McDermott at the AFC Coaches Breakfast. McVay seems to be on that side of it. McVay's pretty long tenured, and so is McDermott. I mean, I imagine their voice carries some weight here.
Yeah, and McVay is one we should probably focus on a little bit more than we have. Obviously, McDermott yesterday, that was a big talking point with the safety thing. But McVay has been quoted as saying it's not a football play. He doesn't think it looks like a football play. And if, you know, McVay has won a Super Bowl, he's a powerful coach around the league. If he is going to say to people, this doesn't look like football, that is a powerful voice to have to combat. So you mentioned it's 16-16 is the report. I think everyone needs to look at it as if the NFL wanted the tush push to stay, they would have just had the vote today. But Right. Because that they are tabling this and they're moving it to the future, that is a strong indication of what they want to have happen. They want this play to be banned. Otherwise, it would just be voted today. Mm. So maybe next year there will be some variation where, you know, there will still be quarterback sneaks. But I think that when this is voted on again in May, that you will likely see the play altered in some way.
Elliot, one proposal was passed today that this was the Eagles' proposal, which is overtime. It's going to be now the same as the postseason and the regular season. So both teams will get possession of the ball in OT no matter if the team that gets the ball first scores a touchdown. So that was the Eagles' proposal. You like that one?
Yeah, to be honest, I felt a little bit like McNabb listening to that because I've been so focused on the tush push. I'm not sure I really understand what the new overtime rule is yet. But, yeah, I mean, if both teams are going to get the ball, I think that's a positive. So the Eagles can chalk up one win for today, at least.
Well, we'll take that. Elliot, your takeaways from the other part of this, which is for the first time since, I guess, the Combine, we get to hear from Howie and Nick Sirianni. You did with Howie yesterday. We all heard Sirianni this morning at the breakfast you were at. What stood out the most? Let's start with Howie because, you know, that was not something that was broadcast. We just saw some of the quotes. You were there. What stood out to you from Howie speaking yesterday?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say this is everything he said, but just my sense of being there for Howie and being here the past 2 days is that, you know, patience is probably a word the Eagles want fans to have right now. And this is what he said at the Combine. So I think if you look at the Eagles roster, we can all agree as currently constructed, they have, if not the best roster in the NFL, they're certainly top five, wherever you want to put it. But we can also all agree they have some holes. There's the hole at safety, you know, the cornerback number two spot, the right guard. Like there are some obvious spots where you could go, you know, there's a question mark there. I think the Eagles are attacking the rest of this offseason before week one with a mindset of let's see how the young guys do. Let's see how Sidney Brown does. Let's see how Kelee Ringo does. Let's see how Tyler Steen and Kenyon Green look. And we'll give them a chance. But, if, you know, entering week one or the third week of training camp, it's obvious that maybe one of them is not playing to where they need to be. I think the Eagles believe they have enough assets piled up. I think it's something like 20 draft picks over the next few years where they'll just go out and trade for somebody. So, I love talking about the Eagles more than anybody. I love the roller coaster of concern, but I think it's very obvious that if you're someone who's concerned about the safety spot, if the safety's not playing well, they'll just make a trade. But I don't think they're going to make a big time move between now and when they hit the field for practice because I think they genuinely want to give these guys a shot.
Elliot, Sirianni spoke this morning. I heard you ask him, I think it was you asked him the question, but you put up the video about his contract situation, which,
Yes. You know,
it was you. Yeah, okay. So his contract is up after this coming season. I would be shocked if he goes into the year as a lame duck, but nothing's done yet. What'd you take away from his answer? And then when do you think something would happen here? And why do you think it hasn't happened yet?
Well, so I was in the same camp, it sounds like you were, where when I was in the, you know, the locker room when they were celebrating the Super Bowl, I thought it would maybe be like 3 days before that contract's announced. It seems like a pretty straightforward negotiation. But if you look back in 2017, when they won that Super Bowl, Doug's extension was not announced until August that, you know, that following season, essentially, like in training camp. So there is a bit of a precedent of them not doing it right away. Being next to Nick today when I asked him, the sense I get is it's not something they're concerned about, but also probably not something they want to talk about right now, right? Because, you know, they're focusing on other things. So I agree with you. I would be stunned if Nick enters next season on what's essentially a 1-year deal. Jeffrey Lurie is going to talk in a few hours here, and when he does, I'm sure he'll be asked about it, and he'll probably say something similar, which is, you know, Nick's going to be here a long time. I'm not going to talk about contracts, but he'll get one.
I'm curious, Elliot, because you've been down, and I'm pretty sure you've been moving and shaking and moving around buildings. Outside of the heated conversation that Howie had with Coach McVay, have you witnessed any more lobbying down there in Florida? Have you seen any more, like, maybe heated conversations or some controversial conversations?
Well, so I will say it's definitely the topic of conversation. It feels like no matter where I'm at, last night they had a big party for everybody here, owners, head coaches, Serena Williams, Guy Fieri was there. So it was a star-studded event, to say the least. But
why is Guy Fieri there?
Well, maybe
that's the dude with the hair, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the cooking guy, yeah.
She married, though, right?
She can still
go to a party.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, why are you? I mean, I'm, no, because I'm like, I mean, never mind. I'm getting in trouble. Okay, just go ahead.
But she's a famous athlete. He's just a chef with a TV show.
No, but I'm saying, why is she at the NFL?
I think
owners
Guy Fieri's pretty popular. Yeah, I would say he's pretty well known.
Yeah, I think his best
days are over. And dies, man. Come on.
Yeah, it's over now.
That's the spiky hair dude,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ed. We're sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
If I see her later, I'll tell her to follow you on Instagram.
No, don't do that. Don't. I'm just kind of curious. Why? Like at the owners' meeting, why is she there? Like she trying to own the team?
Well, maybe.
I think part of it is we're just at a really nice hotel in a warm weather place.
So she just happened to be at the same hotel.
No, I don't know that, but she's just a nice place to hang out.
I got.
Right?
I think you're prying a little too much.
Well, yeah, I got hung up on the wrong thing, dog.
Obviously,
I hung up on Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Although I will say when I said that Serena and Guy Fieri was there, I thought I would get Hugh's attention. So maybe that one was.
I remember. At the Pro Bowl.
But no, I mean, just everywhere you go here, the Tush Push is the main topic of conversation, and everybody has an opinion on it. So I haven't seen any heated debates. I think the idea it was heated is probably overblown a little bit, to be honest, just from what I've heard. But everybody here, the Tush Push is it's a perfect conversation point. It's simple. It's, you know, like that is the main topic here. So everyone has an opinion on it for sure.
Well, Elliot, we appreciate hopping on and great work this week. And because of your work, we've been putting together a list here of true football guys and non-football guys. And unfortunately, Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur, they're out. You know, they're not football guys anymore. So the list.
Well, I got something for you there, too.
Oh, what is it?
If you watch the way Nick Sirianni carries himself here, like football guy clothes, right? Like an Eagles shirt, shorts, a hat. You look at McVay and LaFleur, they got on well-tailored jackets, tight pants like I do. Like, you know,
he
not
said
really
tight
football
pants
guy.
Like I do.
Not really football guy attire, I would say.
No, Nick's moving up the ranks of football guys. He's proven himself there to be one. All right, Elliot, we appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your time there, and we'll talk soon.
Have a good one, man.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys.
All right, there he goes. Elliot Shore Parks with us from West Palm Beach, the site of the owners' meetings. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls in the Tush Push. Elliot believes this thing is about to be gone. Maybe as early as next month. The owners tabled this till next month for a vote. I think the Eagles will be fine without it. They don't need it. Where do you come down? Elliot seems to think it's gone. Do you think the Eagles need this play? Plus, we'll check in with the Phillies' rivals. There have been some significant odds movements already in the NL East. One team that was the favorite a week ago, they're in a bad way right now. 215-592-9494 Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Baseball fans love the long ball. And FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is giving you even more reasons to love home runs every Tuesday during the MLB season. Because with Dinger Tuesdays, all FanDuel customers get a home run profit boost. That means when you bet on moonshots, you can take your winnings to new heights. So whether it's a big blast or an oppo boppo, FanDuel is your home for betting home runs. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO and gear up to go yard all season long. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to claim your Dinger Tuesday profit. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, official sports betting part of Major League Baseball. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official part of 94 WIP.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Worked out great for Coach Sirianni.
Well, it did. This is his song. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard the Tush Push being shelved. Those cowards, just vote today. It is a cowardly move to not vote today. I agree with Elliot. I agree with some of our callers so far. They're saying the only reason to shelve this is they want to change the vote over the next month because it's pretty clear if they voted today, Tush Push would stay.
Sirianni and the Eagles should be blasting that song as they walk around the competition should. Committee.
I mean, they got these guys
coming
in
after them again.
I don't know if y'all seen pictures of Coach Sirianni at the owners' meeting. He looked like he tied a couple on, though, dog. Like, he looks a little... Like, he stayed out and partied like a rock star for a couple nights.
Well, I imagine those nights at the bar or the party go a little late.
No, I'm saying, he looks like he partied like a rock star.
It's the off season. Let him do what he
does. I mean, no, not a problem.
As long as he showed up on time for his press conference.
No, not a problem.
This morning,
not a problem. I'm just saying, he looked like he's partying like a rock star.
He did look better today than he did the morning after Super Bowl. That morning, he looked like he had a long night, and he should. He should celebrate there. 215-592-9494. Coming up, Daily Mock at 1 o'clock. We'll get to a change in the NL East odds just 5 or 6 days into the season and all the rule changes that have been passed in the NFL. First, back to the phone lines, though, on the Tush Push. Big V in Mount Laurel that I put on hold when Elliot was on. Big V.
Big V.
2 hours, 14 minutes, guys. Ah, oh, you're killing me.
No, I put him back on hold.
Big V, we're doing the best we can here. We appreciate you calling in.
You can't help it. People be calling.
What do you got? What do you got for us?
Okay, first of all, Tush Push is not a rugby move. It's actually a modification of a phalanx, which is a military move. Research Hannibal. It was perfected and made better by Toll Hannibal. He got it from the Spartans.
Can you
this
lock
is
in?
Sparta.
I feel like the audience gets smarter every day on the show. Learn about avocados. Meanwhile, Hugh's getting cooked on the avocado aphrodisiac poll, by the way.
This is aphrodisiac.
Cooked.
Well, they have not confirmed or denied, but they did say it does increase blood flow, which helps sexual.
But that's not an aphrodisiac. That's just a
like a blue chew does that.
Yes.
So is a blue chew all of a sudden an aphrodisiac?
Yes.
No. I think we're.
I think we're not sure
what an aphrodisiac is.
It's an enhancer.
No.
Okay.
Avocado. Never mind. Let's let go. Big V, go ahead.
But, yeah, so, I mean, look.
Oh, okay, hold on.
They always change. What do you want, Kyle?
You ask me what I want? You're on our show, dude. Oh,
okay, Kyle, shut up.
No, how about you shut up? So now it's my turn. You're potted down. I looked up aphrodisiac, food, drink, or drug that stimulates sexual desire. So I guess a blue chew could technically be an aphrodisiac.
I went one for one.
No. Avocados don't increase desire. They may help your body do what it needs to do when that moment arises.
All depends on what you do with the avocado, dog. I don't know what you're doing at
dog,
home.
I don't know what you're doing at home. I mean, you're the one that flew through a whole thing of guacamole the other day.
I thought I was going to die.
Why don't you just relax?
Yep. All right, Big V.
Big V, buddy. Big V, we're sorry. Actually, we're not.
Hey, Kyle, you're going to have to get Jillio to hook on phonics version of that so he can understand what you said.
I, what does that mean?
What are you talking about, buddy? Just continue.
You're in denial. It's
move on.
Aphrodisiac.
But nobody that eats avocado thinks it's an aphrodisiac. Except you. Go ahead.
I raised my hand.
And it's cheaper than a Blue Chew. Sorry, Ike.
Hey, yeah. Hey, they ain't bringing none of the Blue Chews yesterday.
Yeah.
They need to drop some of them.
Hugh thought they were going to, like, just give some to him yesterday in the booth.
But back to the – you know, in sports, they tend to always want to regulate or ban where certain athletes or teams have an advantage that they can't seem to overcome. Mm. I mean, they banned the slam dunk because of Wilt Chamberlain. And then they brought it back.
So you think they're going to bring this thing back eventually? It's going to get banned and come back?
Oh, I'm not saying – I can't predict the future. If I did, I'd be playing the, you know, $400 million lottery, and I wouldn't be talking to you. Mm. But, you know, they did the same thing with the three-point rule, the three-second rule. They banned that, and then it came back, and then they banned it. That's what they do. I mean, they even banned what? Who was it? Deacon Jones with the head slap?
The head slap, yeah.
Yeah.
So every time somebody has an unfair advantage that they consider an unfair advantage, or the owners don't have the athletes with that ability, they tend to want to ban stuff. And Tush-Push is one of the most innovative things since Newt Rodney and the forward lateral, better known as the bomb.
Well, you know, it is. It's also simple in its nature. And I do think there's something to it. Big V, we appreciate the phone call. I think there's something to the NFL. Like, who wants this out? There's obviously some teams. Half the league wants it out. But, Hugh, there's something, whether it's Rich McKay or it's Goodell, there's something to the people above want this out. And the only thing I keep coming back to is they don't think it looks good on television. Well, it's kind of an automatic
play. There you have it, Joe.
Play.
The people in power.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking in the break, and I was telling you, I said, one individual that I know that has a lot of power and a lot of say in that room is Rich McKay.
He's now on the not football guy list.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for him.
And because I remember being in Atlanta and we talked to him a couple times. And he would always talk about the rules and making the game better and all this other stuff. So to your point, it sounds like he feels strongly about it not being a football play.
So I understand why sometimes they change things if they're boring. Right? No one... The NFL competition committee doesn't want boring. They want us all to pay attention. Like when they changed the extra point and they moved it back to make it harder because it was so easy. It was like you could – I used to leave the TV when someone scored a touchdown and you just know the extra point.
Yeah, it's money.
Right. So they changed that and they made it a little more challenging. The difference is every team had extra points every game because every team scores touchdowns. Mm-hmm. This isn't every team. I actually think there's something interesting about this because the Eagles get a – and they're a good team, right? So it's a good team, high-profile game. It's 3rd and 7. They get 6 yards. And they're on their own 30-yard line. Most teams aren't going to go for that. The Eagles can because they have this play, and that makes the game a little bit more interesting. Like, are they really good? Kyle, I think it was 2022, the year they got to Super Bowl the first time with Sirianni. I think there was a game against the Packers in late November where Sirianni went for it like their own 25, own 30. It was real. They were really backed by it.
I remember Sirianni used to kind of push it a little bit.
But that made I found that interesting. Yeah. Like, how far will they push the envelope because they trust this play?
Well, but that to me just illustrates the importance of this play to the Eagles. Like, that is, when we talk about how it's jealousy and that teams are trying to knock the Eagles down a peg, I think I think they're right that it does knock the Eagles down to a little bit to their level. Obviously, it doesn't, you know. Other teams that suck aren't just automatically going to be as good as the Eagles and win as many games. But, like, it is an advantage that the Eagles have over the league. It's a definitive advantage. And I think taking that away from the Eagles would actually hurt them a lot.
Well, a lot of people do agree with you on that. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Dave in Silver Spring thinks they need it. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Dave, what's up?
Good. Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, when you look at this, they brought the rule in 2005 back that you could push a ball carrier forward, whether they're a receiver, whether they're a quarterback, whether they're a running back, you know, and that's how we got here, right? That's how we got to, let's try to push the quarterback. I mean, no one's been talking about this as like a rule. Are they going to ban the you can't push a ball carrier? Like, you see all the time, pushing receivers in the end zone, pushing running backs forward. Is that all going?
It might. Yeah. So, Dave, what I keep seeing here as we go through the show is as more reports are coming out about this, it seems like they may try to rewrite the proposal and then vote again or actually vote in a month because because the way it's worded right now, it seems like it's just against the Eagles, right? The way the Eagles do it. Now, they can't. Now, if they rewrite it the way you're speaking of, which is just in general pushing of the ball carrier, that's a different story. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a...
You got that. Cricket.
Yeah, it happens. Dave, we appreciate it. I think Dave was honest on there. I think it was the Ravens playoff game. I think it was Mark Andrews caught a pass, and then... Or maybe one of the receivers caught a pass, and then Andrews came up and just shoved him like five extra yards. They may do it so you can't shove anybody on offense. That's easier for people to say, well, it's not just against the Eagles. They want to take that out of the game.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it has the potential to be nitpicky when it comes to this, because now it's going to be like what is considered aiding a runner or something like that. So, yeah, it feels like it's going to be a little nitpicky. The fact that these discussions have become heated – and they've been taken outside of, quote unquote, the boardroom is fascinating to me, that it's become that much of a hot topic where people are defending their position on it.
Spilled over to cocktail hour, Guy Fieri and Serena Williams.
Yeah, I'm not being a hater, though. I mean, the worst thing you could say when you're being a hater is that you're not being a hater. Babe, but I'm not a hater.
I think we need to track next time Hugh says I'm not being a hater, because then we know you're being a hater.
No, if I'm being a hater, I just be like, I'm hating big time.
Well, I'm hating on this.
It's like when you do the no disrespect thing, but disrespect somebody.
No, I mean, but you when you start off no dis, like I've said this
doesn't
before,
work.
You do it a lot. Yeah.
It's you can't get mad when I say no disrespect.
Well, yeah, I mean,
what if you say something disrespectful after saying no disrespect?
Well, no, when you say no disrespect, that means you're about to be totally honest.
But that could mean disrespectful.
That doesn't absolve you from, like, it if does. You say it, no.
You can't get mad.
You
can't get mad.
You know, it's like, I apologize in advance.
Basically, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's just
see,
like,
you think
no
you meet some stranger on the street who has no idea who you are, and you say no disrespect, and then proceed to just totally disrespect them that you're good?
How about this?
Why are you getting upset? I said no disrespect.
Okay, just like yesterday. Hey, I did this. No disrespect, but you need to keep your hands off my damn shoulders. But, we don't know each other.
No,
like
but hold
that.
On. But that wasn't my premise, because those people know you're Hugh Douglas, so they're going to respect no disrespect.
And I
not everyone will.
I understand that, but still, no disrespect. But you ain't got to put your hands on me. That's not being disrespectful.
That's following this person already wanting to put their hands on you. They like you so much that they want to grope you.
That did feel gross.
We're talking about a random guy on the street.
It was a grope.
Disrespect.
Can I press charges?
No, I wouldn't do that. I mean, look, hold on. If you feel you have to, you can. It feels like a lot of work for you.
Well, since we're here.
You're not a press charges guy.
But listen, I'm not going to lie.
You got to know who you are.
Going to the game. It's a couple. I ain't gonna put nobody's name out there, but it was a couple of those women out there with a little handsy yesterday. I am not a piece of meat, ladies. Don't be grabbing my butt cheeks. Hey, listen, I'm friendly.
Sounds like you had yourself an afternoon yesterday.
No, I'm saying, you know, people want to take pictures, and you know,
wow.
From my perspective, when I take pictures, I don't really like I do the fake hug. You know, I put the arm like I'm, but I don't touch anybody because since the COVID thing, we adhere to social spacing.
Yeah, not anymore.
But I tell you what,
that's been dissolved.
The ladies, man, they get a couple surf sides in them, man. Somebody like squares my butt cheeks yesterday. And I was like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, hey, stop. I didn't say stop. But I thought it. But I was just like, you know, little handsy, man. Little handsy.
So you thought it, waited 20 hours and told everyone.
Yeah, I told. But I didn't tell anybody's name. But y'all know who y'all were. Oh, y'all ought to be ashamed of y'all.
We veered off of the conversation that no disrespect doesn't.
I know.
No disrespect does work, though.
I mean, this is
No disrespect does.
Well, that was a filibuster.
Or here's the best
one.
With all due respect.
No.
All right, what if the person that squeezed your butt yesterday said no disrespect before they did it? Would that have worked?
No.
Okay.
Well, so there you have it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it doesn't matter.
No, it would have been like, it would have been kind of weird.
I think you're not considering that you wouldn't adhere to this rule yourself.
Absolutely.
And that if some random person on
like,
the street.
It all depends on what it like. Grabbing booties, you don't do. You just don't grab random people.
Well, I agree with
though.
That. Yeah, we got to.
Can't be grabbing cheeks.
Everyone needs to relax. All right. Before we go any further, Hugh, how about this? While the Phillies are off to a 3-1 start, have you seen what's going on down in your former stomping grounds?
You know
Atlanta?
I have.
The Braves are winless to start. They are in a bad way. So they're winless to start the season.
0-5.
0-5. So they got swept by the Dodgers and then, or swept by the Padres, then lost last night their first game against the Dodgers. Not only that, but Reynaldo Lopez, one of their starters, on the injured list. And then yesterday, you said this earlier, Jerickson Profar, their outfielder they signed to a $40-plus million deal this offseason, hit with an 80-game suspension yesterday.
They do a masking agents for PEDs.
For PEDs. And so this morning we were in the meeting talking about this, like, man, the Braves are having a tough time. And someone said, well, you know, are they still the favorites? And I was like, I bet they are. It's only been 5 days. Are the odds going to shift in the division that much in 5 days? Well, guess what? They
have. It was all good just a week ago.
So the Braves entering the season were the favorite to win the East. And the Phillies were either second or third. The Mets second or third, right, depending on where you looked. Over at FanDuel now, the favorite to win the NL East, the Philadelphia Phillies at plus 120. The Mets are second at plus 165. And
that's
the Braves
crazy.
At plus 270. They have fallen to the third odds in the East. I mean, it might be an overreaction, but that's a bad start.
Well, it's not because you don't know. Ronald Acuna is still hurt. You don't know what he's going to be like when he comes
well,
back.
Well, that's true. It sounds like early May for Acuna.
And now you talk about Profar. What, like, he got paid a lot.
$42 million.
And you don't know what he's going to be, what's that, previous or post? Post.
Post-steroids. Post-steroids.
Yeah, you know.
Well, he might. I mean, in his career, Hugh, he was never that good until last year.
You don't know what he's going to look
mean,
like.
He may be a total fraud. He may have steroided his way to $40
million. But I will say this. You still got to hit the ball. Like, I don't think steroids help you with that. I don't think.
Well,
don't
but
think
they help you recover from workouts. So you are stronger and your hand-eye coordination is better. Yeah, you still have to hit it, but I don't know. He may have pulled the wool over their eyes. So, you know, it couldn't happen to a better team. 0-5,
and you was all worried.
Million.
Y'all were all worried about, not you personally, but yeah. I'm just saying everybody was worried about the Braves. You just never know, man. That's why they play the games. That's why they play the game.
Yeah, and it's only five, but it's as bad of a start
as
you can have.
Yeah, but it doesn't. And I think they say Spencer Strider, he looked pretty good. He's looking good coming back.
I think they said end of April he'll be
back. Yeah, but still, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of baseball.
Well, we got to track it. Hopefully, they lose tonight again, go to 0-6.
Oh, you don't think they are?
Oh, they're playing the Dodgers. They'll probably lose tonight. Yeah.
The Dodgers are undefeated.
The Dodgers have not lost a game. It's wild. Frank in Washington Township. What's up, Frank?
How you doing?
Hey, Frank.
Listen, I don't think the Eagles need this play, but it is something that does change the whole dynamic at our team, because if you look at it, how many times at third and one do they run a play that maybe they should have just ran the ball and instead they'll throw a deep pass, knowing that they could come back with that fourth down play?
Pretty often, yeah. It's like they know it's in their back pocket as they do the other plays leading up to it.
But as far as other teams are concerned, trying to shut it down just because you can't beat the play. I mean, get better players. I don't understand. Are we supposed to tell Patrick Mahomes he can't throw a no-look pass anymore, or Matt Stafford he can't throw a 10 and out to Puka Nacua on a third and 10? Or, you know, Burrow can't throw the deep pass to Joe Burrow just because another team don't have a good safety? I mean, come on. Jamar Chase just because the team don't have a good safety or cornerback? Where are we going to stop regulating these plays? Get better players. Don't change the rules. Get better players.
Frank, I agree with you. Frank, good phone call. I actually would be more accepting if the NFL, if Goodell came out and said, it's a bad play for TV. It's boring.
That's the truth.
We don't like it. We think it's bad for television. We think it's an automatic play, and it's bad for the future of the sport. Then okay, I may say, come on, but I under like the LaFleur
because
and McVay come out.
You're hurting yourself.
Yeah, they come out
making
up
all these excuses to say. And then I look at it like this. With all due respect, didn't I kick y'all ass this year like twice?
Well, that's really
well.
Why.
Like both of y'all, I kicked both of y'all asses twice this year.
Yeah, the Packers and Rams.
So you two, like, it's kind of, and I would say, kind of weird that you two guys are the ones with the loudest voice, and you're the ones that talking about you not being a hater. But you did catch two L's. You caught two fades. You caught both of them from me, and the tush push was a part of that. You know what I mean? Because if we're going back and we're looking at it, Sean McVay has the loudest voice because they probably gave us the most problems in the playoffs. That was the team that gave us the most problems.
By far. I mean, that was the closest we came to losing the game.
And he's like, man, he's looking at it feeling some he's looking at it feeling some kind of way. That was a self-edit. He's looking at it feeling some kind of way. So yeah, that it's just amazing that the two teams that have the most to say are the ones that took the L.
You know, as you just went over the McVay stuff, Kyle, I'm wondering now if part of the problem is Hugh Douglas. I'm wondering if Hugh's part of the reason why McVay's pushing for this. Because remember, you called the Rams tomato cans.
Oh, that's right.
And maybe McVay found out about this.
You know what? He should have said no disrespect first.
Yes.
I did, didn't I?
No. When you were Benedict Arnold Douglas?
Yeah. I did. I said, I got to start doing a better job of that. I
mentioned the fact that the teams that the Eagles have played throughout this eight-game win streak have been tomato cans.
You can't say with no disrespect or with all due respect.
You absolutely can't.
No, you can't. You got to sit there and take it.
What if you say something extremely disrespectful after saying no disrespect?
What do you mean?
Just like, I don't know, like think of something, don't say it out loud, but think of something disrespectful that you would say to someone, and then if you preface it with no disrespect, it still means
you still can't get mad.
Yes, you can.
You can't get mad. Okay, perfect example. Now.
You can. Like, you would.
I feel like you're not putting yourself in the shoes.
No,
I would sit there, and I might feel some type of way, but I couldn't get mad. I'd be like, okay, I feel you.
So, you're walking down a slippery path.
What are you talking about?
Because that someone's going to do this to you now.
Well, they can, and I'm just going to look at them and be like, okay. I kind of did it today with Jeff McClain. I said with all due respect, I still like him, but he's not warm and fuzzy.
But I feel like Jeff would have the right to feel disrespected.
Jeff barely speaks when he comes in the building every day.
Yeah, he's not going to do anything
about
it.
Speak.
What does that have to do with anything?
I'm just saying, he's not going to say nothing. And Jeff probably... I am a blip on Jeff McClain's radar. But, he don't care.
He would be within his rights.
He's
down south winning, getting stories and stuff.
Now you're walking it back.
A little bit. He down there winning. Man, he ain't thinking about me.
Not until someone tells him what happened on this show today.
He is dry, though. He's dry. He's a little dry.
Yeah, a lot of reporters are dry. That's really what separates Ellie, because he's one of us. Like, he's a sports radio guy.
Not all of them are dry. When you rate the okay here in Philadelphia? Dry reporters. So Jeff is at the top.
Jeff's dry, yeah. But
who's second?
I have to. You want me to make a list?
Yeah, well, you don't have to do it right now, but workshop that list.
Yeah, I think there are some.
Just make sure you say no disrespect.
We're here.
Some reporters are a little bit more like, you know, just like facts, black and white, just dry. Like, they just cover the sport. X's and O's, they get a quote, and some have a little personality to it. Elliot, obviously, he does sports radio, so he's got personality with what he does.
You know, Elliot, like, real talk, the last couple weeks, Elliot has become my favorite reporter because he asked the hard questions. Him and Dave Uram, shout out to Dave Uram. Dave has a quirky way of doing it, too. But those two right there, they ask the tough questions. They ain't talk about what your favorite dinner or what your favorite meal is. Not taking a shot at anybody.
Wow.
With all due respect.
Wow.
With all due respect, can't get mad. But I'm just saying, can't get mad.
See, you're out of control. You're emboldened by the no disrespect thing.
Because it works.
It doesn't.
It's a loophole that is not real, that you've created in your mind.
There might be some truth to that.
Yeah, I think there is. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll go through everything to come out of the committee in Palm Beach, including a new big man on campus. There have been some rule changes. We'll talk through those. Your phone calls on the Phils. Big win yesterday. And Mundo Sosa. And with a big at-bat and a big hit. And how about Trey Turner off the bench with that walk to keep that inning going? Plus, when we come back, along with your phone calls, the Daily Mock at 1 o'clock. Do the Eagles need the tush push? They've shelved this thing for a month until they vote on it. Do they need it? I don't believe so. Kyle does. Hugh wants that demoralizing factor of the opponent. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.